When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Okay, how do we do this? Because we've got probably some ground rules, I think.
Oh, I'm so cold.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, we should say we're so cold. I should say, okay, you've brought a prop. Tanner has a towel. Towel?
It's not a prop. It's a fur. It's an electric blanket.
Okay, let's say it's a fur. It's a fur coat.
It's an electric blanket. It's on full blast right now.
Okay, yeah. So it is pretty blustery. And is that the blustering of the wind that I've been hearing this whole time? Is that what it was? Kind of the blowing of a cold winter wind?
Not here in New England. Physically,
yeah,
it's pretty nice today.
Okay,
but here in the podcast dungeon and in my soul,
yeah,
and where we're headed, yeah, I think for the next content block, certainly it's been a little bit
pretty cold,
frigid, blustery.
And what are we kind of? We're maybe lost in the woods for this.
Who we are,
metaphorically speaking?
Yeah, I think
not happy.
I think our sort of interaction with the content, the new content.
Yeah.
Block. Hello, by the way. This is Strange Bedfellows. My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I'm Jack Shepard.
Podcast about romance.
Yeah, romance.
The romance genre.
Yeah, you know, and adjacent.
It's two dudes. Things. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
We're
lost in the woods, and it's cold. But also, kind of metaphorically,
retired the hunk hunters.
Yeah, and we're not.
Because October was well come and gone.
Yeah, and we found him. It all let's say where it started. It all started with Hugh Grant's Vernal Dance. In the springtime, didn't it? It's a natural, you know, a lot of podcasts do Hugh Grant's Vernal Dance in the spring, and we thought, well, let's just see if we can kind of jump on this trend.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh.
It's going around TikTok,
yeah.
You know?
Now we're kind of, feels like we're locked into a kind of a seasonal content block, which I was quite pleased about.
Yeah.
And so that was going to naturally turn into the Summer of Sandra.
Wow, those were heady, glorious days.
Those were heady, glorious days. Happy days. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then things took a turn for the weird, because we did have to hunt for the hunks of the hunt for Red October. Throughout October and through much of the fall and into the winter. But then we did find them all, didn't we? We got them all.
Yeah, we did take a break, an armistice for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and then,
but now we're just sort of in the cold, grueling grind of winter that lasts until what, March?
Yeah, until Hugh Grant's
sucks.
Vernal Dance comes around again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody kind of strap in for this one. And it's weird on the East Coast here. So winter lasts for half of the year. So I think this will probably be a pretty long one.
Could be.
And we're hunting, before we say the name of the content block, are we hunting Chris's?
Hunting. I wouldn't say so. I would say that.
So I should kind of get out of a hunting mentality.
Let's see. Here's what it could be. And bear with me here.
Okay.
A Christmas Carol where each Chris is like a ghost of
Christmas past.
Or like, you know, Chris content. And we need to learn, I think, learn a lesson from each movie.
Just take a look at what you have become.
Okay.
About why we love Christmas.
Okay.
I don't remember what the...
That's a lot. So I'll say the name of the content block and we can work from
we
there.
We should do... That's just one idea.
Yeah. So the name of the content block that we're doing is... Now is the winter of our Chris content. And it's we watch Chris content.
Chris content.
Chris content. But we experience Chris content. And that much is locked down. But it sounds like you've got a whole sidebar.
Well, two things.
That's like the ghost, the Chris's of Christmas past.
I think it could be.
Yeah. The ghost of Christmas past.
I don't hear you shooting any ideas out there.
No, you want to know why?
You
want to know why?
Because
I fucking love it. That's why. Okay? So cool your horses.
So I think we're cranky.
Yeah.
Bah, humbug.
Old Scrooge.
Grouch-like old Scrooges.
Yeah, okay.
Locked in our cold podcast
so
dungeons.
Cold. Yeah, and our hearts are cold.
Bah humbugging about everything.
We're also Richard III. Richard III, let's see, some lines you might remember from things he said. Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this Duke of York. Yeah. Famous guy.
Sure.
Yeah, hunchback.
Yeah.
You know? My kingdom for a horse, another thing he says.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a bad trade, but, you know, I think that's actually the point of the line.
I'm pretty sure John Steinbeck.
Okay, good. Was not expecting that phrase to come out of your mouth as a response.
Had a novel called The Winter of Our Discontent.
Okay.
1961. It was his last novel. So that's, we could also reference that.
Okay.
Let's see what this is sort of
You think
about.
It was a reference to the Shakespeare line or just a coincidence?
Coincidence. Must be. Sag Harbor.
Oh, so you're looking up Steinbeck novels now. So you think that this content block needs more like meat on the bones?
Well, you're the one. I don't know. You sort of said, like, I think you started it off by saying, like, who are we? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, and
the Hunk Hunters
once
retired,
you get churning,
you know?
It's a kind of, you know, somebody has to say stop.
Essentially.
Yeah. Okay, so yes.
It's like a boring machine, you know?
Stop. I think we got the bones of this. We're hunting Chris's, but not like hunting them like the Hunk Hunters did. Those guys, we don't even agree with their methodology or philosophy. We don't think you should hunt men. But no.
And we're hunting, in fact, like,
really
the,
for our own sort of emotional.
The podcast took a pretty like aggressive turn.
Yeah.
I think during the October hunt for the hunks of. The hunt for Red October.
Yeah, and possibly the kill count during Summer of Sandra might have kind of influenced that. So maybe this is good.
Going after these Chris's at all. I think they're coming to us.
Yeah, they're coming to us. And we'll...
They're coming to us with insights.
Yeah. So this is a...
What can we learn?
A gentle
what can we learn about each
content
other?
Block. It's gentle.
I think it's a... It's why would you call Christmas Carol gentle?
Kind of depends on the version.
Some of them are pretty scary.
Yeah, some of them are too scary.
The Scrooged one.
Scrooged
is really
one
scary.
Is the one I'm thinking of. Too scary.
Yeah,
watched it recently.
In fact, all of them in the Scrooged one are scary.
Even the Muppets one is scary.
There's not a ghost in that one that's not scary.
Muppets one is scary.
Yeah.
That's the Ghost of Christmas Future is scary as hell in the Muppets one. They went too far.
Yeah, they went too far with that one. Yeah. I was a child.
Yeah. So it's the winter of our content, and we're kind of looking into the past, the Christmas past, Christmas. There's no T there. It's Christmas past, but not that we're participating in the war on Christmas. We're neutral on Christmas. I mean, we like it. I think. I don't know.
We don't care.
The podcast doesn't have an official stance. I think, but
we don't have a stance.
I quite like it.
We celebrate it. Yeah. I have a Christmas tree. Yeah. We're not religious, but we have the thing.
But just to be clear, Chris, I feel like Christmas past is going to be confusing for people. But it's if you're spelling it out, it's Christmas past.
Christmas. But or, I will just quickly say,
yes, please,
as sort of like a, you know,
just a,
whatever the you've got the asterisks, the double asterisks, and then the little like
double daggers.
Cross.
It's a dagger or an obelus, it's also called.
That doesn't mean that we are only watching films starring men named Chris, C-H-R-I-S.
No, far from it.
No.
But actually a lot of it.
Yeah, a little bit. There's going to be a lot of it because there's a lot of dudes called Chris, and they're in a lot of really good romance movies like the one we watched today. We should
we say it?
Maybe discuss whether or not it's a romance movie.
Yeah, it's called Snow White and the Huntsman.
Snow White and the Hunksman, more like.
More like Snow White and the Hunksman. So folks who have listened to the show know that what we like to do when we watch one of our famous romance movies is, first of all, put a 60 seconds on the timer, and Tanner describes the entirety of the film during those 60 seconds. And then
we haven't done that.
We describe it again, and I describe the film in iambic pentameter in a parody of the famous Winter of Our Discontent verse from Richard III.
Oh, and you've done that? Or you're going to do that in the next minute?
Well, you'll do yours and then I'll do mine. That's how we have always done it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, finally, it fits the theme. It's been weird before.
But you've got a minute to sort of pull that together, or you're just going to do it off the cuff.
I'll just do it off the cuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as you will be. So do you want to kind of gather yourself? Because this movie, I'll say, I don't...
We watched it some time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, about a week ago.
It's... A lot happens in it.
I didn't get this one.
There's not really a lot to get.
I didn't really understand it.
A lot does happen. Quite a lot happens.
I'm not going to say... It's not like I didn't like it.
Should have been a trilogy.
I watched it during the day.
I can say that I didn't like it.
You know, if you heard of Third Screen or Second Screen...
You've invented a new one?
Yeah, there's a new one. That's when
gone even deeper.
Third screen is when you are like kind of looking at your phone while you're watching the movie, but maybe you're also playing Kingdom Rush on the iPad. Just because like you're watching it during the day and it's like a healthy 2 hours and like just a lot's happening.
Oh, it was longer than that. Yeah. It's long. This one's long. If you're going to buckle in for this one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me get to the... Why would you not have the runtime? Wow, it won a lot of awards.
You know, that's not the first time I've done this, Tanner.
127 minutes.
Can I make a sidebar?
Over 2 hours.
Quickly.
What?
It's not the first time I've done this. You know I said, hey, third screen, I meant second screen? I did this like pretty embarrassingly the other day. I was talking to a video editor who I was working with on a project, who I just met. Very nice guy. And we were getting along and just kind of talking trade, talking shop. Because, you know, I make content too. And I was saying, and I felt like we were like on the same wavelength. And I was like, hey, you know how it is when you're like watching a video. I wonder if it's true with video as it is with audio. Like while you're like experiencing the performance, you've got like kind of a third brain that's like doing the edit in your head. And like as soon as I said that, I saw his eyes just go a little wide, and I just like didn't quite have time to like didn't feel comfortable going back to either correct it, or as I did, I think pretty effectively when we were talking about second screen, like make it work. So I think this guy now thinks that I think I have a second brain that's like kind of unaccounted for.
Yeah.
Because I never cleared it.
Freaking I said that, human. Great.
Yeah,
so
funny.
The movie is called Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah.
It is over 2 hours long. Mm-hmm. I watched every minute of it. It's jam-packed. It could have been a trilogy. I'm discovering now that there is a sequel we'll have to watch.
We'll have to watch it. We'll have to speculate on what it's about, I guess, probably.
Well, I can tell you who comes back. And maybe that'll help us understand.
Yeah.
Hemsworth.
Hemsworth is
back. Charlie, and let's sort of
Theron
double as...
Is black. You want to know what's interesting that I'm just realizing?
Dramatter's persona,
too. Tell me if this is interesting. This just popped into my head. For real.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, and you can look it up, I'm pretty sure Theron is the Greek word for hunter.
I won't look it up.
Do you want to?
Not really. Will you look it up?
I guess. It's not that hard. I'll check now.
Isn't she South African? What's it the South African word for?
Somebody look it up. Yeah, Theron is a boy's name of Greek origin. It translates to hunter. So is that weird? Because it's like Snow White and the Huntsman, and then also...
Well, she's not the Huntsman, so it was bad casting, I guess. Who else is coming back for the sequel? Nick Frost and Sam Claflin.
Oh, I'm glad they
now,
brought
this
back
was a surprise
the,
to me.
The dwarves.
I was awfully surprised when, like, maybe an hour into this movie.
Yeah, the dwarves show. I'd kind of forgotten it.
So much had happened. And I said to Jamie, like, are there dwarves in this movie? And she was like, no.
No way.
And, like, 5 minutes later, there's dwarves in this fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's
but they're not... Not really.
I'd
it's
forgot.
Not like little people.
Well, it's somewhat controversial, I think, because they certainly...
It's all famous actors.
A number of little people actors were unhappy that they chose to have people like Nick Frost and then just like superimpose their faces on the bodies of,
little
people. Little
people, so, yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? That's not my problem. I didn't make the fucking movie. What we are going to do is...
I just watched it and gave them money.
Watched it. Yeah, I gave them three.
Encouraged them to make the second one. Yeah.
You'll describe the film in 60 seconds, and then I'll do it in iambic pentameter.
Okay.
Yeah?
We lose Kristen Stewart, by the way.
For next, yeah, we should say.
The Huntsman Winter's War. But we gain Emily Blunt and Jessica Chastain. We're not going to watch this
next. Is that a fair trade? I don't know. You know what? I'm pretty pro Kristen Stewart.
Maybe we just watch it in our free time.
I don't know why, but I've just partially because there's just a lot of Kristen Stewart hate out there. I think she kind of rules.
What decade are you living in? Who is possibly doing Kristen Stewart hate right now, and for what reason?
I don't know. Maybe it's over. I was reading the Rotten Tomatoes reviews of this film earlier today for a segment that we might do later, and there's a lot of Kristen Stewart hate, but it's maybe from times past.
Here's the you know
because of what she did
to clock?
The guy from the movie. Didn't she cheat on him famously?
Isn't she like a famously out lesbian now?
Yeah, I know she is now.
Well, she was going through something. I don't know. We're all flawed.
Did I say
Jesus?
Forget it. Okay, I'm gonna put 60 seconds on this big bad clock, and then I'll have you describe the film. Are you ready for that?
Oh, that's not enough time because there's so much happens.
Your time begins now.
Snow White's mom has a prophecy that she's going to have birth to Snow White, and then she does, and then she dies.
Okay.
And then army men come.
Have
like,
birth.
Like,
hurry up. I needed to say it, but you keep saying.
Like lava glass guys.
Yeah.
They're like made out of lava glass come and they start hitting the castle with hammers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stop the lava guys and there's a woman in a crate and it's Charlize Theron. And she makes the king fall in love with her and her name is Ravenna.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a magic mirror that's like a big glass dude or a big gold dude, and so much more happens. And I'm out of time, but there's dwarves.
And
Thor is in it. Yeah, a lot happens. Does your poem cover a lot?
I kind of hope
of what
so.
I missed.
Yeah. Here's what I've got. You know, it's in my
I
best.
Really held up at the beginning.
My best iambic pentameter.
Oh, I didn't even cover her brother.
It's pretty Shakespearean.
She sucks souls.
I'm gonna say it doesn't really cover that much of the film, but. I did the best I could. Why don't I just start now?
You should just watch the movie. It's not good, but it's like a lot happens. You know, you're gonna get your money's worth.
Now is the winter of our Chris content, made gloriously dumber by the Chris from Thor. Bella from Twilight locked inside a cage by the girl from Aeon Flux, except she's bad.
We haven't watched that.
Now, when Morticia Adams bathes in milk or steals youth from the blood of peasant girls,
all the girls in our village were taken.
It's like a massive Botox sesh for her. But when her brother with the creepy hair lets Bella Swan get loose from out her cell,
how is it that an innocent young girl makes a fool of my brother?
They send the Scottish man from Ghostbusters. Or is he supposed to be Australian? It's hard to tell. His accent is as whack as Kevin Costner's drawl in Prince of Thieves.
His queen demands your presence.
Can't you see him having a bath?
But soft, let's dwell no more on Hemsworth's brogue, for they have made another bonkers choice. Here in the woods are seven British dwarves, and one of them is, bafflingly, Nick Frost.
My lad, are you white-faced, something still here, them harpy fairies?
It's kind of like that fairy tale, Snow White. But where there once was snow, Nick Frost remains. And for some reason, Sneezy just gets murked. And Dopey has telepathy.
Oh, they're bad.
She will heal the land. She is the one.
For real. The premise is that Bella Swan's so hot that only she can kill Charlize Theron. And so the discontented queen gets pwned. By Kristen Stewart. Winter's hottest Chris.
Yeah.
It's about right.
Do you think that is a heavy, heavy burden to lay on Chris Hemsworth's shoulders on the first episode of The Winter of Our Chris Content, that he is the hottest Chris of the winter?
No, I'm claiming Kristen Stewart is the winter's hottest Chris.
Oh,
that's okay. Like the twist.
Sure, this is a double Chris.
And I think the film implies that, because the premise is that no one is hotter than Charlize Theron from Mad Max Fury Road until Kristen Stewart comes along, and then she's the only one that's hotter than Charlize Theron. It's frankly kind of a bonkers premise for a movie. I think they're both beautiful women, but like I wouldn't say
it's kind of the premise of the. I don't think it's the movie's fault. That's sort of, that one's from the fairy tale, if I'm remembering the fairy tale correctly.
Well, but the fairy tale doesn't specify like actors, you know, like it gets.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. They were really making a lot of, like...
You know, it leaves you, it's your imagination. But in this case, it's
you
like...
You don't see...
The movie's putting its
I
cards
on the
table.
I guess you see a lot of... The only other... Maybe the fantasy is that this world is very small, because the only other women we see have, like, horribly scarred themselves to prevent the mirror's detection.
Our scars protect us. Without beauty, we are worthless to the queen. It's a sacrifice we made. So we could raise our children in peace while their fathers are at war. And you, your sacrifice will come.
Yeah, I'd quibble with that slightly. They do, so they're like, just in case, it's kind of, they're like, anyone who's a babe, Charlize Theron like steals their like youth and
their essence. And steals their essence. Turns them into frail old ladies.
But they are like,
see it happen.
They're still babes.
Radical. She does it for her and her creepy brother, who I love.
Yeah, the brother is my favorite character.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite figure out what his deal was. He seems like maybe he's like kind of not that smart, but he has like truly an astonishing haircut.
Yeah, it always has. We see some flashbacks.
Yeah.
They really pack a lot in. You really got to watch this movie.
You got to watch
so much
movie.
Happens.
Yeah, let's say what else happens. So
let's see, they go to the fairy sanctuary.
Yeah.
The fairies are awful.
Really gross.
They're like nude little boys with like punk haircuts and big eyes.
Don't they come out of like animals?
Yeah, they sort of, they can, I think, control animals maybe. Or are animals?
I don't know.
Hard to say.
We should say it's kind of like Snow White, but like also sort of. Not really. Like, there's not, I guess there's an apple thing part, but it's like in my memory of Snow White, it's been a while. Apple.
The Disney movie.
Well, I was thinking the fairy tale, just kind of writ large, but sure, let's go by the Disney
it's
movie.
It's a big, the apple is a big part of the Disney
that's
movie.
The apple's like pretty central, but in this, it's more like, just like, oh shit, we should get an apple into this.
She sort of gets pretty easily conned by, I can't remember her name, Ravenna.
Yeah.
Ravenna. Ravenna?
I think it's Ravenna.
Ravenna.
Yeah, Ravenna sounds like shit.
she tricks, she can like do like glamours, and she makes herself look like Snow White's like...
Old boyfriend.
Childhood boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty quickly convinces her to give him a big kiss. And then eat an apple.
You see, child, love always betrays us.
But then it's like, she's not asleep for long. Don't you think, tell me this, riddle me this. Don't you think it was lazy of the fairy tale guys to be like, hey, we've got two like absolute banger fairy tales. This first one, it's about this this like princess who like pricks her finger on like a something or other, and then she's asleep. And then the other one, it's about this princess who like eats an apple, and then like, okay, get this, like she's asleep.
She also falls asleep. Yeah. It's a good, I mean, it works. It's like a sequel. Spiritual sequel.
Okay. All right.
It's probably what they would say.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know the Grimm's Brother fairy tale well.
No.
Fairy tale
no,
well.
I'm just saying that there's like kind of saying. Like a.
Is Thor in it?
You know, honestly, think it's the Huntsman. It's the Huntsman is in it. And so.
The Huntsman is actually in it?
Yeah, I think so. But he doesn't show up until like. Really right at the end, I think.
To do what?
Wake the princess.
Okay.
You know what, folks? I'm going to say right now, I don't really remember how Snow White goes. Maybe she doesn't even fall asleep. Maybe she just gets sick.
I think it goes like this. Yeah. I think it goes like this. I think we've just watched how Snow White goes.
Yeah.
It's called Snow White and the Huntsman. Yeah. It fucking owns.
Yeah. Kristen Stewart's awesome in it. And so is Charlize Theron. Is just astonishing. Charlize Theron is pulling a... All right, walk with me on this metaphor. She's pulling a Snape from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, where she's like, I'm only in this movie for like 20 minutes, but I'm a main part of it, and I'm going to like just absolutely balls to the wall for like every fucking scene.
She's in this movie so much.
Okay,
she's
fine.
In this movie so much.
Sure.
Her brother's in it more.
Yeah.
But she's in it a lot.
But she like gives it everything.
It's just such a long movie is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, she went and gave, like, a full movie's performance, and it's only, like, a third of the movie.
Yeah.
Let's see. She convinces Thor.
To...
The kingdom's sort of in ruin, because she's...
She really fucked it up.
Sending all the men off to wars.
And she's like, stealing
all the youth out of the babies.
Yeah.
And she needs to... Now that... I don't know how the mirror...
Well, the mirror like, is a guy.
The mirror's like a guy. He comes out of the... Well, I don't know.
The mirror's a guy, sometimes... and the mirror's like, bad news.
My queen, on this day, one has come of age, fairer even than you. She is the reason your powers wane.
Who is it?
Snow White.
Snow White. She is my undoing? I should have killed her when she was a child.
Be warned. Her innocence and purity is all that can destroy you. But she is also your salvation queen. Take her heart in your hand, and you shall never again need to consume youth. You shall never again weaken or age.
Immortality.
They decide to, like, give us a scene where, like, we see the brother watching Charlize Theron interact with the mirror, and it's, like, a hallucination.
I don't know. I think the mirror's a real guy, because the mirror it comes to Charlize Theron, and the mirror is like, weird news, have you seen Twilight? Guess what? The girl from that
she's
is
18.
Here, and she's turned 18, and now she's hotter than you. And that's objective fact in the movie.
Yeah.
And if there's someone who's hotter than you.
And the fairy tale.
And the fairy tale. Yeah.
I'm sure it was worse than the fairy tale.
Yeah. Way
knowing
worse.
Those perverts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to get her. And then Charlize Theron's like, well, that sucks. But fortunately, I literally already have captured her. She's like in jail right now. So all I need to do is like not let her go. And then she's like, hey, creepy brother, can you go like check to make sure she's still in jail? And he's like, haha.
Yeah.
Maybe this is my chance to like see if she'll give me a kiss. And then she kicks him in the balls and runs out of the cell. And like
she slices his face open with a nail and runs out of the cell. And she, what are the birds that are white? Magpies. She's got a couple of magpies. Oh, it's the fairies we discover.
Okay.
She's got a couple of fairies dressed as magpies helping her.
Yeah.
And they send her down a sewer to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Which becomes instrumental later because that's the
same
sewer that the seven dwarves get through.
Yeah.
to get in, to breach the gate.
Then they run around in the woods for a while.
Well, and then the queen is like, she immediately like stumbles into like a patch of like psychoactive mushrooms.
Yeah.
And like is dying on the forest floor while having like a crazy hallucinogenic.
This would have been a good opportunity for her to have the apple.
Yeah, instead she just sort of like puffs into
balls.
Some like
yeah.
puffer mushrooms. Yeah. yeah. But the queen is like, I know a guy who goes into those woods all the time.
Yeah.
He's an old drunk. He's awful. No one likes him. It's the most handsome man you've ever seen.
Yeah, so good looking. He has like the fucking craziest accent.
Yeah, she tells him that his dead wife will come back from the dead if he goes and captures Snow White,
like,
which is not true.
Okay, I believe that.
So you wish to be reunited with your beloved?
Do not speak of my wife.
You miss her. What would you give to see her again? You know of my powers. Bring me the girl, and I will bring back your wife.
Nothing can bring her back.
I can.
And then he goes and finds her and decides not to give her in.
Because he falls in
and
love.
They run into the dwarves, and then the movie's just sort
Does
of like takes off from there.
Is that, that's, I guess that's so. The question. This is a, so is this a romance?
At the end, they kiss.
They do.
Well, is it a romance? No.
Okay. Pets.
What are the three laws of romance?
Pets die. Do pets
Number
die.
One, she's riding a white horse
oh, yeah.
through the
it,
bog
and it fully
of like sadness. And it fully R-taxes.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that's not a romance.
And she's like, get up, get up. And he's like R-tax. Shakes his horse head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pets die. God, they love to kill horses in these things, don't they?
I know.
And
a lot of those horses don't make it after the scene is done. They have to just, I think, shoot them in the head and leave them there.
You know, like, here's what I think. The third rule that we always forget. I think it's like some kind of like Bechdel test type thing that Jamie came up with. Like that, like they have to like have a conversation or something.
No, that's something we made up.
You sure?
Yeah.
Huh. What are you looking up?
Let's look it up.
Okay. Look it up. Because the second rule is happily ever. It has to end happily ever after or happily for now. And I think, yeah, for that. Because they do a big kiss. They defeat the evil queen. She like fully Joan of Arcs.
Now,
yeah, okay.
I Googled the three rules of romance genre, and I got a couple of hits.
Okay.
The top one, I think, is probably going to be what we're looking for, and it's on famous website, medium.com.
Oh, classic.
Everyone check it out.
Yeah.
But the second one is careerauthors.com, 8 scintillating rules for romance.
Is that us?
Writing romances.
Did we do this?
So maybe this is what we need. No, this is not. That's about writing a romance.
Okay. Sounds like that's a title we could use, though.
Oh, I need to create a Medium account to see this content.
Okay, send it to me. Oh, here we go. It says 4 rules. So this can't be right. So we'll have to discard one. 4 unspoken romance writing rules you have to follow by Kristen Reinhardt. Oh, this is one of the Chris's, it sounds like.
Got her. This is a lesson we're learning.
Rule 1. Story's main plot is the romance between the two main characters. I'm going to say no.
That sounds like the one we can throw out.
This one, yeah, let's throw that one out. So we only get one to throw away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty confident that that's the one.
Main plot is like Charlize Theron's trying to like stay young. Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Rule 2.
There's a lot of plot in this movie. A lot of main plots.
Story is driven forward by the obstacles created to keep the characters apart. I think
this is the wrong set of rules.
Yeah, I think we have to throw that. Because
I'm
going to
throw
too.
That one out too.
Okay, because they once they meet, they kind of spend the whole. No, there's some obstacles. She eats the apple.
Well, there's plenty of obstacles.
Yeah.
They keep getting attacked by like bad guys.
Yeah, but that doesn't really keep them apart. It's like might kill them, I guess.
Oh, you know what? One of the obstacles is
what?
The village of injured women. Maimed women.
I don't remember that.
He leaves her.
Yeah, yeah.
Leaves her behind there and walks away.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like an obstacle of convenience.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we've
done
found
it.
Safe haven for you, and then it immediately gets attacked by like glass monsters.
Unfortunately,
that guy with the haircut.
Rule three, the way you write the physical interactions between your two characters is important. Well, we'll throw that one out. And then rule four, happily ever after or happily for now is mandatory. So okay. That we know, and we've already got that one.
Bran, where'd the pet ones go?
There's no, yeah, now I'm starting to wonder whether...
Maybe the third one was another pet one.
Jamie put that pet thing in just to throw us off the set. Or maybe just to give us something to latch onto, because it's like, it's really easy to know. Did pets die?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I don't know. It's pretty romantic.
Three laws. This will probably help, right?
I think the three laws is for like...
There's a lot of them. One of them is bound to be right.
Okay.
Are relevant.
A robot must not harm...
We have already done that one. And I don't think that accounts. I mean, we're this movie's already like...
Yeah.
I guess it's just like, how at fault is it now of not being a romance? Yeah. Because a pet already does die.
Yeah.
Do they end up happily ever after?
I think yes, so, yeah.
She's the queen at the end.
Yeah, so I think it's...
I guess makes him the king.
But we know from Snow White and the Huntsman 2, or from what we know about it, that they don't end up happily ever after.
Yeah.
Unless it's a prequel, which it may be. I saw some blog that was like, in this fascinating movie that is both a prequel and a sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman. I was like, wow, is that,
wow.
How'd you do that?
That, well, we'll have to watch it. Wow, this entire episode is just a hype episode for the Huntsman Winter's War.
Yeah. All right, well, we don't know whether it's a romance or not, but I do think we should take a quick break.
Okay.
While we figure that out. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here. I'm excited to tell you about a little money-making project that Evil Tanner and I are cooking up called Wetter Help. It's basically the same concept as our sponsors, BetterHelp, but we're not going to run into any copyright problems this time because Wetter Help does everything our competitors do, but we do it soggier, damper, and with a 100% moistness guarantee, or your money back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. But if you want to get absolutely drenched, BetterHelp has literally nothing to offer you. At WetterHelp, we'll spray you down with a hose, steep you for a full half hour in the most sodden, saturated slop we can find, and then throw you in a lake. The only thing BetterHelp can do is find you a therapist to work through your stuff in a way that will help you face the world and practice self-care, all while completely bone dry. If you want to develop self-awareness that helps you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, or find a healthy balance in your relationships with other people in your life, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime...
Tanner! I just don't think this one works. Tanner!
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/bedfellows. Okay, and we're back. Do you think we've said the whole movie? There's a lot of it.
It's a little too much movie,
yeah.
But I do think you should go watch it because you are going to get your money's worth if you pay the $3.99 that Apple TV asked for.
Yeah, it's worth that amount of money. Let's see.
I think that's pretty much it. She has a bit. There's a war.
Yeah, we should say there's a war.
He kisses her. She eats the apple. She dies. Her childhood boyfriend kisses her. Doesn't wake her up.
Okay, and then
Mario's in it. I should say
Mario's in it. Chris Pratt.
Yes. No. Mario is in this one. Actually, Bob Hoskins.
Was he Mario?
Yeah, in the 1993 film Super Mario Brothers.
I didn't quite get that. This was his final film.
Was it really? It was
not his finest work, but We all remember him fondly. Mario, of course, was his finest.
He played, I guess, Doc, right?
I don't know.
But Doc has become sort of like a blind old mystic.
Yeah, and then they kill one of them.
They kill, like, Dopey.
Yeah. It's pretty fucked up.
It won't leave you, miss.
It sucks, yeah.
And Nick Frost, whom I like a lot, is really out of place in the film. It just, like, doesn't work. I guess really it's, like, bad. Partial. It's not Nick Frost's fault. It's, like, any comic relief makes no sense tonally with this film.
But it's also, like, it's a bunch of, like, other sort of, like, bit actors, you know?
I mean, so it's
like,
pretty
you kind
famous
of recognize
guys, yeah.
Everybody, but they're all, like, CGI'd oddly, and it just, it's so odd. It's such a weird
movie. It's a weird movie. Why don't I send you away? To think about that, and then
no.
Arbor Janitor, so nice to see you. Welcome back from the future. I hope we haven't taken you away.
Hello, Jack.
Anything important?
I was going through the dark forest, actually.
Oh, okay. Looking for young maidens to steal their essence and keep yourself looking young and fresh, if I may say so.
No, I just wanted to get out of Super City,
okay.
Like Mega Block 21, and as you know, right outside of the city gates is the massive desert with all the like vampires, and then outside of the desert is the dark forest.
Okay, yeah.
I like to go there, I like to puff the puffer balls.
Okay, yeah. get pretty lit.
Lifted,
yeah,
you
okay.
know?
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, the reason we've asked you here is for our hit segment where we talk about the Rotten Tomatoes reviews of the film and say whether they're good or bad. It's a segment that is called On the One Hand. And we like to begin with a segment within a segment about the positive reviews of the film that is also called, confusingly, On the One Hand. I've collected two positive reviews for you. I'd like to share them with you now.
Okay.
First one is from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film 5 stars on April 14th, 2017.
Wow, they loved it.
With the following review. And I'm starting to think now that you say Mario's in this movie, maybe it was Bob Hoskins as Mario giving this review. Not to try to unmask Anonymous, but the review goes, I love it. I watch it everywhere.
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 Yeah. That's good.
The up part is weird, and also even without the up part, what do you mean you watch it everywhere? What do you mean?
Yeah, that's a hard one to like unpack.
I watch it all
he
the
has
time.
Watched
I understand
it
it's like a known hyperbole for saying like I watch it a lot. I watch it all the time.
Maybe he's watched it in every room of his house.
But
you know?
Watch it everywhere is just a weird. I kind of want some more context there.
Yeah.
Mario.
Did Rupert Sanders direct anything else?
I bet he directed Snow White and the Huntsman Winter's War.
I actually don't think he did. It was directed by the visual effects director of the first one.
Yeah, I guess they were like, what's the only really good part about the first one?
He directed that much hated Ghost in the Shell.
Okay.
American remake with Scarlett Johansson, and apparently he's remaking The Crow next year.
Okay, give that one a miss. The second review is also a positive review. It's from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film 4 stars on October 17th, 2014, with the following review. Kind of like the dark version of Snow White.
How many stars?
4 stars, yeah. Thank you for that insight.
Kinda.
Whoa. What, did you go to film school? Shit, really makes you think.
Yeah, wow.
Whoa.
Fucked up.
Huh, I'll have to watch it again with that context.
Her name is Snow White. You'd think it would have like clued me in, but...
Oh, wow. Now that you mention it. This is a segment within a segment where we talk about the middling reviews of the film. It's called On the Fence Hand. This first review is from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film 3.5 stars on December 15th, 2015.
Can't make up their mind.
Following review. I think referring to its Rotten Tomatoes fresh percentage. Just 48%? Ha ha ha. Why not 20? You have not idea, bunch of snobs.
You have not idea.
You have not idea. And I just want to be clear, like,
bunch of snobs.
This person wants it to be lower, but then in their own review, gave it like a 70%.
It also seems like, yeah, they're defending it, it sounds like, too.
Yeah.
Like they're telling the snobs to fuck off.
And it's also not fair because it's an aggregation website. So it's like, it's actually more likely that it's not a bunch of snobs. Like 48% means like there are some major snobs who like fucking hated it. And then a bunch of people like,
we're two of
I'm not going to say like you because you gave it a middling review. Like the person you aspire to be who liked it.
Yeah. You didn't love the movie, but like fuck the haters.
Yeah.
You know? That's fine.
This next middling review, I collected because I just really liked the phrasing of it.
Great.
It's from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous. Are you familiar with them? The Guy Fawkes masks and stuff. This person gave the film 3 stars on March 6, 2014 with the following review. Finally, a good Kristen Stewart film has come! Exclamation point.
And by 2012, what had she done? Maybe just those...
It's kind of the has come that I really liked.
Twilights.
Just like, right? I don't, maybe it feels like prophetic.
Oh, yeah. Hark.
Like they've been expecting it. Hark.
Oh, she was in a lot of films prior to, I guess she was a kid actress.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff.
She's been in all sorts of stuff.
This next
Jumper
segment is a segment within a... she was in Jumper, I think, yes.
The first movie on here that I recognize.
Well, and you know what that means? It means that Jumper's like... on the list of movies we're allowed to watch for our content block. Now is the winter of
you
our
think it's
Chris
something we can
content.
Learn? Is there anyone named Chris?
Kristen Stewart!
Kristen Stewart. Hayden Christensen.
Yeah,
too.
And Hayden, the famous Chris, Hayden Christensen.
So yeah, that's on the table.
Yeah.
Great.
The next segment.
Hey, I've got an idea where we can jump next.
Okay, good. Yeah. Jumper, got to watch it. It's one of the most disappointing films I've ever seen in my life. I think people know that. Next segment is a segment within a segment where we talk about the negative reviews of films called On the Other Hand. I think that's the only segment title that really kind of makes a lot of sense in this here.
Yeah.
The first review is, I know who you think it's going to be from, but you're wrong. It's actually from Robert P., who gave this film.
Oh, Pattinson.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Isn't he the...
He was dating Kristen Stewart for a while.
I think she famously cheated on him.
Yeah.
She was going through
so
some
just
stuff.
Going and leaving bad reviews on all her movies.
Robert Pattinson has left the following review, 2-star review, on August 16th, 2017. Movie never did get rolling, much to its demise. And this one just kind of took me back because I was like, is that an expression?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I started second-guessing myself. I was like...
It's coining it.
Maybe it is an expression. Much to its demise. Yeah. It's like, what would you say? If you got stuck in a sentence, it was like, man, this movie never got rolling. Much to its... What would you then say?
Much to my chagrin.
Yeah, I guess. But once you've said it...
Oh, it's... And it's...
Much to its...
And much to its...
Demise?
Demise? Much to its...
Maybe the demise is because he wanted to say my chagrin. Yeah. And then, I don't know. Anyway, it really kind of took me back. Robert Pattinson, you got me. This next review, it's the penultimate review that I've collected. It's from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film 0.5 stars on December 6, 2014, with the following review. She's bad, and she should feel bad.
Who?
I assume he's talking about the witch.
Ravenna?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think she does feel bad at the end when she dies.
Yeah, I'm not sure she feels bad about...
It felt really bad.
I think she also feels bad about what she did. She knows it's fucked up, but she's like a... I want to say this carefully without sounding like I think something that I don't think. But she's like a fucked up feminist.
Ravenna is?
Yeah, because she's like sick of like men.
Defend that.
The premise of the film is she's like... sick of men like always like getting away with.
She does bullshit. The earliest. So I guess we should do kill count for the summer of our Chris content.
I thought we were going to try to make this one gentle.
I know, but
we're going to make this one as gentle as possible. But that does include.
She does murk the king pretty early, count. And yeah. As she's doing it, yeah. Sort of tells
she
him.
She tells him why. She's like, I'm sick of men. And like,
fuck men.
I decided pretty young after really a bunch of bad men did a bunch of bad things to also become quite bad.
I was ruined by a king like you once. I replaced his queen, an old woman. And in time, I too would have been replaced. Men use women. They ruin us when they are finished with us. They toss us to their dogs like scraps.
What have you given me?
When a woman stays young and beautiful forever, the world is hers. First, I will take your life, my lord. And then I'll take your throne.
And that's my origin story. I think that's what she said.
Yeah.
If I acquitted myself well, I don't want people to think I think a thing that I don't think. But she's like kind of like a fucked up feminist in this. Right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on, I've collected one final negative review. It's from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film 1 star on December 28th, 2013. Following review. Poor! Slept off 3 times watching this very lethargic drool of darkness.
What is with the Hacker Collective this week? They're all, like, talking like AI.
I, also, like, what's sleeping off? Is it
like nodding off?
Oh man,
I guess is what they meant.
Are you sleeping off?
I'm sleeping off right now.
You catch someone during the movie falling asleep. Hey, are you sleeping off right now? Lethargic drool of darkness.
Oh yeah,
I just thought that was like a pretty poetic description of the film. Lethargic drool of darkness. That's it.
Jones here.
Yeah.
Hello, Joan.
Joan is here. She wants to be on the podcast. Joan, say something.
She's not interested in talking. Yeah. I dispense my kisses to the middling review.
Not the Mario?
What was the middling review that I liked?
Well, there's the guy who, the prophet, who says, finally, a good Kristen Stewart film has come. And then there's
that's pretty good.
Person who got mad about the snobs. And then there's the film film school grad. I didn't understand this one, but who said kind of like a dark version of Snow White. But that was like kind of over my head.
Yeah, I'd have to. I guess there's like an extended version I saw on the Wikipedia page. So maybe if you watch that, you get a little bit more of that. Yeah, there's a 120-minute extended edition.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, that's the sequel.
Yeah. Arbiter Tanner dispenses his kisses to Mario, who says, I love it. I watch it everywhere. Goodbye, you can leave. Tanner, welcome back. We don't have too much longer, but I guess we could better the blurb of the film.
Let's better the blurb. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, it's a hit segment where we better the blurb. It's called the Blurb Betterers.
Blurb Betterers.
Blurb Betterers. What is the blurb for this one?
Blurb is as follows. In a twist to the fairy tale, the huntsman ordered to take Snow White into the woods to be killed.
Oh, so long.
Winds up becoming her protector and mentor in a quest to vanquish the evil queen. Fucking snooze.
So long.
So long. And it's so boring. And it trips me up so many times. Can I just say this? It trips me up so many times. It's what's called in the business a garden path sentence, which is like a sentence that like makes you think it's going one way where it goes the other way. I had to pause a bunch while I was reading it because it says, in a twist of the fairy tale, the huntsman ordered to take Snow White. Oh, the huntsman ordered to take Snow White. And then it does it again, where it says, ordered to take Snow White into the woods to be killed, wins, and then it's like, winds up becoming her protector and mentor. It's like a fucking mess of a sentence.
Yeah, we're going to have to take it from just, I think,
just
raw earth.
Take it from raw earth.
We're tearing this thing down, and we're building it up from nothing.
I wonder... What do we have? I'll tell you what
we have. How many Chris's can we say are in the film?
That's good. I'll tell you what we have that's good. We've got... We got I Love It, I Watch It Everywhere. We've got Lethargic Drool of Darkness, which is pretty good. And I do think we should probably get into this somewhere, because I hope it's not stealing, but just like let people know that it's like kind of like the dark version of Snow White.
The Mirror Man.
Excuse me?
The Mirror Man? The man who's the mirror?
Yeah.
The Charlie's Throne's magic mirror?
Yeah.
He's played by an actor called Chris Obi.
Okay.
So that's three Chris's.
Three Chris's.
Yeah. That we're sort of learning from.
So this is a three Chris movie. Yeah, so folks who aren't familiar with the rules of this content block, we assign like a Chris rating.
Yeah.
To the film. And this is a three Chris film, so it's like
that's just in the cast.
Yeah. I think we don't go beyond the cast unless we're desperate.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah, this one's Kristen. Chris, and then, of course, Mirror Man Chris.
Yeah, Mirror Man Chris, and, of course, Chris Hemsworth from
Ghostbusters. Thor Chris and Mirror Man Chris. Yeah.
Let's see. So this starts in a twist to the fairy tale. That's kind of a way of saying what Anonymous says so much better, which is kind of like a dark version of Snow White.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard to, you don't really have to say much more once you say it's kind of like a dark version of Snow White, though, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like so evocative, so we might want to like pad that a little.
Okay, well, do you want to start with that at just out of the gate and then hit a semicolon?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, kind of like a dark version of Snow White. And then the next sentence is, the huntsman ordered to take Snow White into the woods. See, it tripped me up again. The huntsman... Who was ordered to take Snow White into the woods to be killed? Should we also say, should we clarify, because I feel like a lot of people will know that the Theron in Charlie's Theron is the Greek word for huntsman. And it's just going to really confuse
your word that's going to trip people up?
Yeah.
I think if you can say it, if you could do it briefly.
There's only one huntsman in this movie. Contrary to what you may think, there's only one huntsman in this movie, and it's Chris.
Yeah.
What about just the one huntsman?
Chris.
The one huntsman in this film is ordered.
The one huntsman.
The one huntsman. Yeah.
The one huntsman in this film is ordered.
Yeah.
One huntsman in this film, Chris Hemsworth, is ordered to kill the princess.
I don't like that, because we're trying
Kristen
to be
Stewart.
Gentle.
Because of a prophecy from Mirror Man. Chris Obi.
Okay, so we can just do that with Chris. We could say okay, tell me, what do you think of this? So this is taking what you've said, but kind of Chrising it up a little bit. Kind of like a dark version of Snow White with one huntsman and three Chrises.
Really good.
Okay, and then we can just say this real fast, because one of the things we didn't like about the original review is it's too long. And what we'll say is,
you know, I'm curious how you're going to approach the Chris problem in writing, because it's something we can say in spoken word. It makes a lot of sense, Kristen Stewart, but...
Well, tell me if this sounds elegant. Chris tells Chris to get Chris.
Yeah, pretty much. There are some intermediaries there, mostly the queen and her haircut brother.
Okay, how about
but
this?
I think we can cut through
Here's
that.
Here's how I can get an intermediate, but it's going to cause a huntsman problem for me, but I think we can solve it. Here's what I've got. Charlie's huntsman Theron, parentheses, not a huntsman,
yep,
is told by Chris to get Chris to get Chris.
That's good.
Okay, I'm going to write that down before I get it. So Charlie's the huntsman.
Theron. I think that's good. And then do we need to say much more?
Told by
Chris. There's a lot more movie.
To get Chris. No, I think that's it. To get Chris. Let's just check to see if there's anything that they said that we didn't say.
Right.
Winds up becoming a protector and mentor in a quest to vanquish the evil queen. Boring. I think this is good.
that what we have is like, ooh, I want to know what that means. I want to go see this film. You've told me too much in your blurb.
Yeah, that's too much, and you told it boring. Blurb. So it's like, I feel like I've already seen the movie.
You told it boringly.
And is the Mirror Chris spelt differently from either Kristen Stewart?
Just classic.
C-H-R-I-S.
Yep.
Okay, great. So I'm going to read this back to you. Tell me if it sounds good to you.
Okay.
Kind of like a dark version of Snow White, with one huntsman and three Chrises. Charlize, the huntsman Theron, not a huntsman, is told by Chris to get Chris to get Chris.
That sounds pretty good, and I think, it makes you want to go understand what that means.
Yeah, yeah, and we do, because we've seen it, and it makes a ton of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Anything else you would like to say before we go home?
No.
Okay. Great.
We should probably decide
what we're watching.
What we're watching.
I made a spreadsheet.
The lesson this week was clear for us, and these old bones of mine are certainly,
a little lighter
up to the idea of Christmas.
Yes. Sorry. We should say it's, and we don't have to say it, do we? We don't have to spell it out for people. It's pretty clear what lesson we learned this week.
The lesson was very clear.
I think the lesson was clear. Sound off in the comments if you got what the lesson was.
Yeah. You tell us what you thought. You know, and a lot of this is like, we the message was clear to us.
Yeah.
But maybe you got a different message.
Yeah, so please do sound off in the comments. But to be clear, we were visited by three of the ghosts of Christmas past. And it was Chris, Mirror Chris.
Yeah.
Thor Chris.
Thor Chris.
And Twilight Chris.
Word.
Yeah. So, and we should say what we're watching. So I sent you a spreadsheet.
This one definitely was not a romance. We can agree on that, right?
I just thought it was pretty romantic.
We should pick one that is a romance.
Okay, well, take a look at my spreadsheet. I've conveniently labeled them yes or no with is a romance in a romance field. I think this was kind of a romance. Honestly, I think this was kind of a romance, so we don't have to. But there's a lot of romances. I've made an incomplete spreadsheet of Chris movies that we've talked about that Sarah sent me and that I added myself to.
We could add Christina Hendricks.
That's true.
To this list.
Yep.
Any other Chris's? This is good. What you have is good.
Yeah.
Do I want to watch any of these movies?
If we want to watch a romance, The 5-Year Engagement is a pretty funny movie with Chris Pratt. What else is... Oh, Ghosted I Never Saw is a romance that just came out with Chris Evans, where she's like...
Okay. A ghost?
I think she's like a super spy. Let's watch Ghosted with Chris Evans. I think it just came out.
Yeah, let's watch Ghosted with Chris Evans.
Okay.
That's great.
So we're going to hunt Chris Evans. Oh, we're not hunting.
No, we're settling in for like another...
Yeah.
Like frightening... moral lesson about
how we fucked up our lives,
impact on others, and how no one will remember us or mourn us once we're dead.
I'm gonna get some gruel,
and
I'm gonna blow out the one candle I use to light my house because I don't need it, and walk up my creaky stairs in my nightcap and gown and enjoy the Chris Evans film Ghosted.
Yeah, I'm going to prepare my milk bath.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the excess run out to the peasants.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to dip in that for a little while. It's not, I don't get a lot of rest that way, but it's restorative.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Bee Babies so very much for bearing with us. We love and kiss you every single day. Please subscribe to our Patreon. We put a ton of work into it.
Yeah.
Only $5 a month. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Thank you to everyone who has done that. We love you extra much. Guess what else? Join the Facebook group. Everyone in the Facebook group is both good and nice. It's a rare 100% good and nice Facebook group. Most of them aren't. Or have a kind of a
lower
percentage.
No, most of them are awful.
But everyone is nice and good in our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. And rate and review the show. Why not? Tell someone about it. We could use some more listeners.
Tell someone about it. Yeah. Get off your asses.
No, don't be mean to them.
Sorry.
And finally, what I will say is that this week we watched a film. The film we watched was called Snow White and the Huntsman. Next week, we're going to be watching a little film called Ghosted, starring Chris Evans in our continuing content block. Now is the winter of our Chris content. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope you find your happily ever after.
What did you say? Apple. Got it.
We might be childhood friends.